Hey, everybody, we're Comic Book Club, and we got a special message about our Patreon account. And this is an account that people donate to once a month to keep the show going. With donations of $5 or more, the show is free to do, free to come see, and free to listen to.
It's free to do.
Yeah, it's not free to do. That's the thing. It actually costs us a little bit of money to do. So these people's Patreonage is much appreciated. Good. So we're going to thank them now, and this is something we'll be doing every month. So thank you, guys. It's kicking off. Thanks to Luke Assange.
Dumpster Pizza Press.
Eduardo Martinez.
Matthew Wood.
Zika's Viral Comics.
Chris Weens.
John G.
Hugo Sanchez.
Curtis LaRock.
And Dennis Scott.
Thank you guys very much for your generous support. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/comicbookclub. The rest of you listening at home, enjoy the show.
We love you.
Sorry if we butchered your name.
We can cut that out.
We're not going to.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man
Prime.
I forgot for a second. I'm sorry, Booth Bad Prime. I forgot for a second.
What, you forgot who he was? Oh, did you think it was some other man back there in the booth?
Yeah, just like a random man.
You thought it was
man.
A regular man prime?
I thought it was, yeah, regular man prime. Definitely the prime is the part that I would have kept.
Exactly.
Justin, I just wanted to thank you so much for being here tonight.
This is good. This is,
of course, a big anniversary for us. And by big anniversary for us, I mean you and your wife.
Yeah, it's our wedding anniversary tonight, and I came here. It's very nice.
Yeah,
she's not here.
She's not here?
No, she's not here. So,
but it's your anniversary.
Yeah, no, I'll see
her. But she's not in the audience.
But I just want you to know that my first wife is obviously Pete. We were Jedi married. But in a larger sense, it's the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice.
It is funny. My wife's always like, because she's in December when we have our, it's our anniversary show for Comic Book Club.
Oh, I remember our anniversary.
Yeah, our anniversary for when we started the show. And actually, this year, it's going to be our 10th anniversary.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's 10 years, a decade. That's longer than most things. But every year in December, she's like, we have to do this thing Tuesday night. It's either like we do a show in December. It's like a rehearsal. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the Comic Book Club anniversary. And she's always like, so you're not coming because you have to go to the Comic Book Club anniversary? So today I was like, you know, I haven't done the show in a couple of weeks. I'd really like to do the show. She's like, you're doing Comic Book Club on our anniversary?
Oh.
So she needs a win in there. Yeah. She needs a win.
Wow.
But that's all right.
Well, listen, well, on the upside.
She's at home with our four-month-old baby, so she
she's doing pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. What a
that's
dream.
Good.
It's just like being with Pete.
Yeah.
Very fussy.
You know, it'll be nice. Just get her something on the way home. Like, just grab a handful of garbage and be like, this is for you.
I'll just give her the comic books in the stack that I've read.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's great. She loves that stuff. Do you know what we love is the amazing guest that we have on the show tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Very excited
right.
to have her here. She is a writer and host for Marvel.com and a writer of an amazing new book we're going to talk about in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, Lorraine Singh!
Welcome!
Hello!
Thank you.
Please.
Have a seat.
Come on. Sit down.
Enjoy the microphone.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. I like this epic music.
We wrote it just for you.
Oh my god, thank
this
you.
This is the first time we've used
it. We usually just play some jangly folk music, but you're an epic guest. So we thought we'd bring out the big guns. Jangly, yeah.
Okay. Jangly.
A lot of, yeah.
Is that like EDM?
Yeah, exactly. I think you get it. Yeah. Okay. It's an EDM folk music.
Yep.
Oh,
unplugged
nice.
EDM is, I think, 90% banjos?
That sounds accurate. The EDM people I like are.
Speaking of accurate, this is a very accurate book you got here. Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know.
Yeah.
This just came out a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it came out 3 weeks ago, I think. Exactly.
And we timed this really well.
Yes.
This is an amazing anniversary, 3 week anniversary. So glad you could spend it with us.
That's great.
There is nowhere else I would be.
Aww.
That's a great answer. I'm going to use that.
To your wife who's not here?
Exactly.
Cool.
I'm going to bank
So, tell it. I mean, I think we can figure out what the book is mm-hmm. because of the title, but I've always been curious about these books because they're such an insane compendium of so many things. If you're listening at home, you can't see it, but you could probably imagine what it's like, that it's just pages on pages of different subjects.
Different factoids and subjects and sort of everything you need to know about Marvel.
Great.
So when you're approaching a book like this, I mean, you're one of
four writers
on it. How do you put it together? How does it start?
Well, I don't. My wonderful editor, Alistair Dougal from the UK, sent me a
All
very...
All right, you're lying, but go on.
Yeah, no, that's his real name. I got a very random email from him. We never actually talked on the phone. We only talked via email, so I totally could have been catfished 100%. But luckily, they paid me.
Wow. Catfished so, by a book publisher?
Yeah.
Very rare. Or an editor.
A Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
but no, so he contacted me, and he said that he was familiar with my other Marvel writings, and would I be interested in co-writing a book, and I was like, let me think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would like to do that. I'd like to go to Barnes & Noble and see my name.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about when you're putting together a page of this, though. Like, I randomly flipped to this, If Looks Could Kill. So it's a bunch of different things about MODOK and other people that I'm having a hard time telling upside down. But
many things.
How do you break it out? Does the editor say, okay, these are the 100 pages we're going to have? Or
yeah, pretty much exactly
yeah?
that. Okay. I got 50 spreads, so 2 pages a piece, and I wrote about 100 pages of the book.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. But basically, he broke down different topics and things. So some of the things he had ideas for, some of them he ended up piecing out of other parts and putting together and doing that sort of editor magic. But a lot of it was, like I did a lot of the Asgardian bits. And so a lot of it was me writing tons and tons of facts and then like sourcing a lot of art and being like, go to this page and this panel and this and use this art.
Nice.
You have hosted a ridiculous amount of stuff for Marvel and done a ridiculous amount of stuff for Marvel. Was there anything that surprised you in here?
My favorite thing that I learned about it, and I feel like I try to put it in everything now, is in the very old issues of Thor, one of the very first ones, Loki goes crazy in Manhattan and he turns everything into ice cream. And then he makes people like disappear and just a bunch of like hijinks. I love antiquated comics. I just, they kind of super make me laugh. And that was just one of my favorites. And now I'm like always trying to find a way to like shove it into my other shows. Like, can't we just have Loki ice cream in this for some reason?
I agree with you. I was just talking about this the other day. Back then, like, all the comic book writers and artists were in like one room and they were like, hurry up, we need to publish 50 comics today. And they were like, okay, this guy is a coffee cup and he shoots coffee at people who are sleepy. And like, that's a whole issue. And so everything was so much weirder back then. Loki turns into ice cream. That's his powers.
And the whole Marvel method of just sort of being like, hey, this is going to be the story. And then somebody draws it and they're like, oh, write some dialogue in there. We'll make it all make sense.
It's fine. It's for kids. They don't know anything. They eat gum for breakfast.
The best part about that, though, is fans now being like, well, it's all in continuity.
Of course, you have to honor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I feel like the Loki ice cream arc is going to be great coming up. I think that's how Civil War II ends.
That was the after credit scene.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to stay for a couple hours after the film.
You just see Loki being like, your ice cream now.
Captain Marvel and Iron Man finally come to blows. And they're like, we're bringing this down. This is all coming down to this. And Loki's like, why don't we have some ice cream instead? And they're like, that sounds better.
Exactly.
It's a real
really
civil
nice.
War
That's,
again.
Yeah. It's very civil.
Yes, exactly.
Great.
Where can people pick up this fine book? Literally everywhere?
Literally everywhere. Star Wars guys will tell you that...
I mean, if you're going to have a ringtone that interrupts a show,
yeah.
The fact that it's Star Wars is really nice.
It's
no apology necessary. I think it enhanced the show.
Yeah, it was great. Super on brand.
Exactly. Thank you.
No, you can get it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of the bookstores that carry it.
And you just show up and look for your name, and then you're like, okay, good.
Yeah, pretty much. I did go call Barnes & Noble on the first day it came out, and I was like, do you have any books by Lorraine Sink, spelled C-I-N-K?
Wow. What a
just
personal
for myself.
Victory.
Oh, yeah, what a personal
you guys,
victory.
Don't judge me.
Was the person like, yes?
And they were like, I've never heard of it, but let me look. So, but, you know, they found me.
Yeah.
Did you then say, that's me? And hang up the phone?
Yes. Right. 100% yes.
Yeah. Great. You also went, you were saying you went on a little promotional tour for it. What's
I'm still doing it.
What were people's reactions like on this promotional tour?
Well, it's been awesome. Lots of a diverse crowd of itty bitty kids to old folk, which has been super adorable. But it's been awesome. I'm still in the middle of it. So I'm going to go to Connecticut, New Jersey, and Astoria in the next week or two and do signings. But it's been awesome. I mean, it's just like very surreal that anybody wants me to write on anything. Yeah. That's like the most exciting part to me is people will be like, write me a message. I'm like, I don't know you, but I'd love to write you a little letter.
So what do? You write a message like, hey, great hat selection today. Sign Lorraine.
My true secret is that I ask them what their favorite character is, and then I try to write a joke for them.
Nice. That's
so like bit. I met a little kid named Ben, and I was like, don't become an uncle. It won't turn out well for you.
Huge win.
I don't know if he was going to get it till later.
That's great.
But it's in there.
That's pretty good. That's awesome. You also host a lot of shows for Marvel. You have a new one called Thwip.
With the Big Marvel Show.
Yeah, and that's you and Ryan Panagos.
Agent M. You might know him on Twitter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Making jokes.
Yeah, making jokes, talking about comics. We do a lot of weird stuff. We started a whole thing kind of based on that Loki ice cream called Master Comics Theater, where we read antiquated comics that are terrible and wonderful and celebrate them and all kinds of different stuff. We have special guests. We do silly things. I got pied in the face for an episode, so it's pretty real.
Wow. You've been involved in the Marvel Video Outpit now for a while. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's constantly growing and changing. Where's it going next?
Oh, my God. Faster, funnier, better. No.
Cool.
We've grown so much. It's crazy. And we're just, like, the video department itself. I mean, studios is huge. We have a ton of crazy TV shows now. Like, that's the thing that's been so crazy is we got one TV show when I started hosting stuff for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which comes back in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But now we have all of these other shows. We have Marvel's Daredevil and Marvel's Jessica Jones and Marvel's Luke Cage and soon Marvel's The Runaways. You'll notice a theme. Marvel's
brand.
Yeah. Brand. Oh, okay. I thought
you're branded as well.
Right yeah, now. But also that. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's crazy because the stuff that we have to cover is crazy and different, and Marvel is just booming. And for us, just more covering it and more live stuff. We'll be coming at you guys live from New York Comic Con soon.
Ooh,
all cool. Week long.
Having hosted all the coverage, gone to red carpets, everything else, is there somebody from one of the upcoming shows or movies you're totally geeked out about eventually meeting?
That I'm about to meet?
Yeah, just like, because we have Doctor Strange coming up. We have all these shows coming up. You're probably going to be on those carpets.
I have not met Benedict Cumberbatch yet.
Oh.
And I don't know if you've heard, but he's very handsome.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, no, that's a true fact. He has a pretty face that looks like magic.
I've never made it all the way through his name, so I feel like that's
you're like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, and I can't even look at his face.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's nice, and also very good actor. So I'm very excited. I hopefully we'll get to do a little interviewing with him on the red carpet. I'm hoping.
Pete, do you have any questions for Benedict Cumberbatch? You want to give?
Yeah, pitch them to me now, please, Pete.
Something provocative.
Yeah.
Please.
Are you worried about screwing up this movie?
That's a Pete standard question. Well,
yeah, it's a
whenever hold on. You would the handle. Implication there is that he screwed up other movies, and now he's going to screw up this movie.
Ooh. Oh, see, that was definitely not supposed
to be. That's what
your
tone
either.
Of voice implies.
No, his implication is that all movies are going to be screwed up somehow.
Sure.
It's just if it's his component.
Yeah, exactly. If it's going to be him, the reason the movie sucks.
He's one of those guys at the theater who throws his popcorn in the air at some point. Just out of like, bah!
Yeah. Are you a Muppet?
Exactly.
I am.
Oh,
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I should. We should reveal this.
Waldorf-y
we should
kind
reveal
of.
This. There's a puppeteer with his hand right up in here, just puppeting this whole thing.
You guys all don't have that?
No, I'm a human.
What?
I feel this is weird telling you, but you're just a bunch of felt and anger.
No, that can't be true.
It's true. Yeah,
it can't be true.
You're held together by little beard hairs.
So gross. Cool. Anything else you want to plug before we move on?
Oh, I'm gonna host a co-ed Geek Girls Slumber Party at the People's Improv Theater on October October 4th, which is a Tuesday after your show.
Yay.
But at the other pit, and you should go to it. It'll be fun. It's going to have geeky guests, including people from Last Week Tonight, Black Nerd Girls, and a whole bunch of other cool things.
All right, cool. And you're online on Twitter and things?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Tumblr. It's all under my name, Lorraine Sink.
Hooray. Very easy.
Way to integrate.
All right. There we go, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And I should mention that one lucky audience member in the house today is going to go home with this copy of this book. Pass it over to Pete there.
That's nice.
We're going to get to your audience questions in a second. In a little bit, Lorraine is going to choose her favorite question, and you're going to get that copy of that book. So
think of a good one.
Think of a real good one. No, not those stupid ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Great.
Should we move on with The Stack?
No. Please. Dwell in this.
Yeah, there we go. Let's move on with Pete's pick, Tokyo Ghost number 10 from Image Comics. Pete, I'm kind of surprised. I feel like you haven't totally been on board with Tokyo Ghost.
Yeah, I've been pushing this book for every other issue.
And now here you are.
What are you guys talking about?
Lucky go whatever, Pete, jumping in at the last second, getting on the Tokyo Ghost train.
Yeah, you're some sort of cherry picker. Bandwagoner.
Fuck both of you.
Bandwagon, that's the word.
What's your favorite football team, the Denver Broncos?
No. What?
Who do you think should win president? Obama?
No.
That already happened, asshole.
Anyways, guys, I've been reading this book since the beginning. It's fantastic.
Since when? Issue what?
One.
Oh, good. He got checks out. That was the beginning.
I've been just a huge fan of this. I mean, it's kind of a famous team up with writer and author. Done a ton of stuff. But Tokyo Ghost is my favorite. So I'm very happy with the world that they created. That they kind of suck you into in this magical world future.
That's the first time I've heard you use the word suck in a positive way.
Yeah.
Rick Remender, who's the writer, and Sean Murphy, who's the artist.
Right. He almost was going to test you on it, and I was like, don't you dare. Don't you dare, because Pete probably knows.
This is an incredible series. I really don't want to ruin anything about the ending here, but it brings it together in such a nice way. It's so beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
It's like there's a prequel or sequel in this. Yeah. Really.
Oh, man.
Listen, thank you for the Star Wars music.
Do we have to pay John Williams for this?
Unfortunately, we just lost like $20,000.
Jesus Christ.
Good thing we have a Patreon.
This series is wonderful. At this point, I would say pick it up in the trade, read the whole collection together.
I imagine the trade will be out in a month or so. And it is, I've loved this book. The art, Sean Murphy's art is so good in this.
Man,
it's such a great series. Every issue, there's just, the characters go through so much, and it really moves so quickly. I was so bummed out that issue 10 was the last issue,
I should mention also Matt Hollingsworth's colors are great too, because this book vacillates from a bunch of different settings. It could get really, really dark, but I think he brightens it up a lot, and it's really nice. It's great.
Have you been reading this, Lorraine?
Not until today, but guess what? I know how it ends now.
Oh. I'm sorry.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick. All New Wolverine Annual number 1 from Marvel Comics.
Yay!
I'm surprised about this pick. What'd you like about this?
Well, here's the thing. I've been reading All New Wolverine. It's one of those great comics that I feel like people don't talk about a ton. We have our new Wolverine, who is now teamed up with a smaller clone of herself and an actual Wolverine.
Named Jonathan.
Yeah, it's very cute. It's a super great team. In this issue, the annual, there's some mind switching going on with...
It's a classic Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
Annual Friday.
It's a freaky annual Friday. And there's a body, a mind switch between our all-new Wolverine and Gwen Stacy. Spider-Gwen. And it's this comic is so fun. It's really well written. The characters feel very real, as opposed to a lot of books where it's sort of just going through the motions. The art's really great. It's good. It's a real... I feel like everyone was mad, Pete specifically, about Wolverine being the older man.
Right, because my favorite character's dead.
Yeah.
So am I supposed to be happy about that?
Well, it's all right. You have an older version and a younger female version that you can
That's
pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
There's also, I don't know, thousands of other comics that exist with him in it.
Yeah, I've read them all.
There's still like 50, 60 years of comics. You can just read those.
Yeah, I've read
them. And then just ignore like this one year.
That's a good point. I should ignore this year. Fuck this whole year.
Ease up.
But I have been enjoying the all-new Wolverine. I think it's fantastic. I mean, sure, I'm sad about my friend dying, but I have this new friend.
I don't know if
he's
friend. Your friend.
What, dude? Fuck you.
What do you think friendship is?
Friendship is
about read about him.
Having a friend who exists in a world.
Does he call you?
You can't say friendship is about having a friend.
You can't?
Here's the thing, Pete. We're friends.
We are not friends.
Oh, boy.
We are coworkers at best.
So you're closer to a dead fictional character than me, who sat next to you on a couch where our knees often touch each other's, because I'm a real person.
I'm going
to
move my knee.
Well, that's Wolverine moved his knee into the grave.
Oh, this is a sad day today.
Yeah. This is a sad day.
Lorraine, what did you think about this book?
I think it's delightful, and you get like a hot second cameo from Miles Morales, who's one of my favorite team-ups with Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Which is like the bestest of friends.
Here's my only objection to this book, which is totally ridiculous, but I'll just mention it anyway. So,
Spider-Ham?
No, I love Spider-Ham or Wolver-Ham.
Wolver-Ham.
That's great. That's wonderful. I don't understand what was going on there, but I liked it a lot.
Okay.
My only objection is you guys mentioned that it was a mind swap before I started reading it. So I knew that going in. So I thought Laura Wolverine had switched minds with the Wolverine named Jonathan.
Oh, here's
I was super into that idea. And when it turned out to be Spider-Gwen, I was a little disappointed.
You can't blame the comic for that.
I blame the comic for not being exactly what I imagined it was.
The other thing,
like every other comic book reader,
now you're speaking Pete's language. Yeah. I like about this this comic also balances action and comedy in a really nice way, where the characters
which is
are
what
just,
you want in a Wolverine comic.
Yeah, I want in a lot of comics.
No.
You just want Wolverine to be... Wolverine put claws through her own head in this.
I know, it's crazy.
Been right over your alley.
That was, what? They didn't show it, though.
What do you actually want in a Wolverine comic, then?
I want violence and action.
Just that?
Yeah.
Because there's some of that in this.
There is, you're right.
I know.
But you felt like the rounding out of it with the humor detracted in some way?
Yeah, it takes away from the violence and action. You know?
Did you ever read Wolverine and the X-Men? Because that's a whole book about Wolverine that's just funny.
That's true.
Separate question. Are you relaxed right now? Because you look like you look like you could fall asleep.
Yeah, right?
It's like you're planking right now. I just don't. I'm just because you don't want to bump
I think he fully submitted to the idea that Wolverine is okay now.
Yeah, exactly.
I was relaxing.
You were rejecting the idea of an emotion in your
heart. Just going to plank it out until next year when he's back.
Yeah.
You probably hated my pick then, which is Howard the Duck, number 10, also from Marvel Comics. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Star Wars ring. This book is great. If you're not reading this book, it is almost wrapped up. There's one more issue, I believe, in the run, and then it's done. But it's written by Chip Zdarsky, and the art is by Joe Quinones, who we had, if you go way back in the archives, he was on our show when we were in Boston years and years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great guy. It's hard to talk about this book without spoiling it, but basically it was revealed last issue that all the crazy stuff that's been happening to Howard over the past 9 or 10 issues or so, which is mostly stuff where Howard's like, hey, that's weird, and then refuses to interact with it in any way, which already makes this one of the strangest, most interesting books on the stand. It's revealed that there are two aliens that are controlling his destiny named Chip and Joe. Mm-hmm. And
but spelled... differently
but still
you would think Chip and Joe
right, with two P's instead of one P and J-O-H instead of J-O-E. And they've been creating his adventures, but also secretly selling out his adventures to Mojo. And of course, Howard is Mojo's biggest star. Mojo finds out about it. There's all these things going on. But the majority of this issue is taken up with Chip and Joe interacting with all these other different creators, in quotes, of the Marvel characters who, like Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah.
Who is working on Black Panther and others. Mm. And it's so meta and so smart. But
you
then
got,
veers
you got your
into
ringtone off? Is
insane,
it off?
Hilarious action. You go to it with the phone?
Jeez, really intense.
You go with the phone? Okay. May the 4th be with you.
Great.
It's there's a sequence in here where they finally get to it in the action where Spider-Man gets involved and he's calling up Aunt May, who's a recurring character in the book, and Spider-Man's clearly in a fight, but he keeps making these noises and the whole bit is him being like, Aunt May, and it's so uncomfortable and weird, and Aunt May is so weirded out about it, but it's happening in the middle of this action thing, in the middle of this meta thing. Basically, what I'm saying is this book balances so many different tones and so many jokes and so many different things at the same time. It's unlike anything else on the stands.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Would you call this a humor comic? This is a comedy-forward comic.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I feel like so many of those lean into meta. They lean into, sure. like, in so many, like, comics where comedy is, like, the first thing you look for in it. We get to, like, the creator, the writer eventually shows up as some weird character. And I think that bothers me. I feel like that's a crutch in so many comedy comics. And it's so commenty. And in talking about All New Wolverine, where there's comedy, but it's like the characters are the driving force of the comedy. And then in Howard the Duck, where it's just like, oh, look, he's like that person. I feel like it's not as great storytelling-wise.
The thing, though, I think that's always been part of Howard's character and the way that he's presented as a comic
that's
character.
That's fair. I'm talking, I guess, about a larger
Lorraine,
thing.
Lorraine, you know everything about Marvel comics.
Everything
books.
You need to know.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about this book?
I love it. But I also, like, Chip Zdarsky is my favorite person of this entire week because he had Chip Zdarsky Con at Fan Expo Canada.
Well, wait, we were talking about this before. Tell people what happened.
Oh, so at Fan Expo Canada, which happened this past weekend in Toronto, Chip Zdarsky, writer of Howard the Duck, threw his own quote-unquote convention, which was just an hour in his hotel room, where he invited other creators to come hang out while he sat in a bathrobe, and then lines of people down the street waited to go in and meet him and his friends that just hung out in a hotel room. Like, I think maybe hundreds of people showed up. It was a very long line to just go into his hotel room and meet them for a second. I thought it was brilliant. He had his own convention at Fan Expo.
He had joked about it on Twitter last year and said, hey, I'm holding ZdarskyCon, and live tweeted ZdarskyCon, which didn't actually happen. Mm. So that he actually did it this year is kind of amazing.
I think that's very funny.
He's selling prints, apparently, online also from his convention.
Really?
Yeah, he's really committed to this joke.
That's
and I appreciate that. But I think it's funny, and I think Howard is a character who's known for sort of being existential and meta and like being social commentary. So I think it makes sense to like insert yourself. And also as somebody who called themselves to hear their own name be spoken by a person in a bookstore, I can appreciate putting yourself in a comic.
Nice. Well, the thing is, Howard is sort of barely in this issue. We don't hear from him at all. I haven't read much of this run. So that's why coming in here, I was just like, oh, this is just that thing I feel like I've seen before. Yeah. I don't know the character at all.
You should really go back and read it, because part of the weird bits of the book is Howard never wants to be there. Like, he never wants to be involved in anything. He just wants everybody to kind of leave him alone. He's ostensibly a detective who's looking into these weird cases, but he barely looks into anything and barely does anything. So he's almost a supporting character most of the time in his own book.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a very interesting way of attacking a book, and it justifies the idea, I think, of having a book built around Howard the Duck, which otherwise seems like a ridiculous character to build a book around. Pete, you loved it?
God, did I.
Oh, great. All right, let's move on then.
I like Howard the Duck. I think it's fun. It's definitely a fun read. I mean, they're just... The whole book, they're just making fun of it. I mean, the part where, Spider-Man's trying to blind the robot, and the robot's like, why would you shoot where my eyes are? That's not my sensors. You know, it was just like funny stuff like
that.
Well,
let me ask you then, Deadpool's a wildly popular, very meta superhero. Right. Why is this book ending, canceled? And why is Deadpool only adding title after title on a almost monthly basis?
I think it's the difference between a character that kills a lot of people in increasingly violent and horrible ways.
You think it's the violence versus the comedy?
Well, I think Deadpool's closer to being a superhero comic, where this is an anti-comic. This is built to be like, ugh, comics are stupid, right, you guys?
Yeah,
I mean, interesting. That's good for this book.
But at the same time, it eventually ends up in a place. I keep going back to this quote where the Chip character is screaming, brought to the point of screaming at Howard, and he says, Howard is like, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to me?" And Chip says, the thing that makes a universe survive is interest. Things need to move, evolve. Stagnation inherently dissolves everything. Characters need to live. They need to die. This is our job. And then he goes into some other things. But basically, there's ideas running through the entire book that I think make it very smart, where it is commenting on the idea of superhero comics and mainstream comics and how they need to move forward and why they keep returning to these things of their past, just as Howard keeps hitting different touch points in his own past.
I think ultimately, also sort of fundamentally as characters, Deadpool is always having the best time and Howard the Duck is always having the worst time. You know, so I think at some point you're a little bit like, people have such a special place for Howard the Duck in their heart because they're like, oh, he's like the little Charlie Brown bad day bear always. Yeah. But Deadpool's just always like, I'm killing people, whatever, it's cool. Yeah. And that's hard to not enjoy. It's infectious. Yeah.
There you go.
Happy murder.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Pete gets that.
I couldn't have said that better myself.
So Pete was right all along.
Yeah.
Terrible news.
Yeah, that is terrible news. And also some more terrible news. That's it for the stats.
Yeah.
Guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys. It's your audience questions. Yes.
Woo!
We did it. And for audience questions, all you have to do is ask a question for our amazing guest or for anybody here on the panel about anything geeky, anything comic booky, and you're going to get some free comics. Remember, make them good because best question gets Lorraine's new book.
It's a nice,
so there you go.
Hardcover.
Oh, you, sir, right there. Come on up over here. Please come on up. All right, what's your name? What's your question?
My name's Hugo.
What's up, Hugo?
Yo.
Hi. All right, so I'm the kind of guy, I like to wait for trades. Nah, you know, I don't like the single issues. But sometimes I worry that affects how companies make decisions about books.
Yeah, you're killing us, man.
Yeah. So that's what are your thoughts on that, and what is your preference? Like, how does that affect how you buy your comics?
Sure.
Good question.
I mean, I can't wait. I'm not very patient, so I like to have the information right away. But I mean, there's something about having the graphic novel on your shelf and look nice, where the single issues, you can't display them. You know, they sit in your long box, and then somebody judges you, you know. But it's one of those things
are you talking about?
I don't know, man. Who was I talking about? Anyways, I think that...
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, anyways.
No, are you talking about me?
No, who are you talking about?
I have more long boxes. Answer the goddamn question.
I have more long boxes sitting in my basement than you. Like, I am more embarrassing.
You both have great long boxes. Just answer the question.
Thank you. This is a real, who's got the longer box?
I don't know how this turned so quickly. I was just trying to answer the question. But yeah, I think there is a concern that if everybody starts buying the trades, will they stop making the single issues, which would be awful.
Well, and two, it does affect how many comics are made depending on which company. There are a lot of great, actually, like little comic strips about this. But if you have a pull list, that can affect how many comics are reordered, how well they're projected to be, you know, how successful they are with quotes. So I think it is kind of important that if there's especially like a comic that you don't know if it's going to make it, mm-hmm. or if maybe it's independent to, or it's, you know, your Marvel comic that you're like, hey, I really like this and I want them to make more comics like that, that you put it on your pull list. So it's sending a message to the company to say, I like this, I want more of this, especially if it's something that you're like, I want there to be more, but maybe there's not going to be more.
Mm-hmm. From a writing standpoint, a lot of people talk about, oh, so many writers are just writing for the trade. It's harder to get in and out of the stories because they're so composed. But I actually think anything that gives the writers more of like a narrative direction is good. It helps the stories, I think. It's like when you watch a movie or a TV show and they have their finite story, then they still throw to the next season or the sequel. And I feel like that's where the way a lot of comic books are being written now, where they're like, this is a story with a solid beginning, middle, and end. The characters go through a change, then they throw to the next arc. And I think that's nice. It makes for more aggressive narrative storytelling.
Yeah, I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure the way it works is like Lorraine was saying, the number one thing you need to do is tell your local comic book store that you want to add a book to the pull list, because sales aren't actually based on how many you buy in the store. They're based on how many you tell the store to buy 3 months in advance so that they can order the books. So in terms of keeping a comic actually going, it does need to be monthly. But I think if anything, a comic book can be saved by the trade. That if a book is not selling particularly well in the single issues and it does get to the point where it does get to a trade and the trade is released and the trade sells through the roof, or you have something like Miss Marvel that was selling solidly, then sold a ton of trades, started to pick up in the single issues, that can only help there. But ultimately, I think you got to read the way you want to read, right?
Read what you want to read. So yeah. I guess you're saying call your comic book store every day and say, you still making Spider-Mans? Yeah. That's what we should do?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's in danger of cancellation.
Because I'm already doing that, so I'm fine.
Cool. I usually call up and, hello, do you have a book written by Batman?
Good, yeah.
Yeah, so far they've said no. Let's get another question. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Louis.
Hey, Louis. Yeah.
Has anybody's favorite comic book choice ever affected your views on them in a relationship, friendship, or otherwise?
Friendship or otherwise? Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Hell's
strong.
To the yeah.
Pete,
I feel like this is pointed because earlier when we did that video, I said that I make assumptions about people based on what that's superhero a, that's they great, like.
It's a follow-up question, technically.
It kind of is. I do judge specifically men on who their favorite superhero character is.
Oh,
I think that that's my little bit of psychoanalysis that I do.
So can we run down our favorites and you tell us?
Yes, and then I will judge you harshly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can you tell us? Are you comfortable with that?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, great.
All right. Will you all lay on the couch like you're in therapy?
Yeah, I mean, that's Pete was laying. He's laying. Like, he's already
ahead of you.
This
really
is Pete's therapy, unfortunately, for Pete.
I feel like we should start with you, Justin.
With me, yes.
Yeah.
You're talking favorite hero.
Your specific favorite superhero.
Great. Mine is Starman, Jack Knight, from the book.
Just the way you said that makes you sound like a douche.
Hold on. You're not the one judging. You know what you feel.
Starman, Jack Knight.
Well, that's his name because there's been other Starman.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to say it like a douchebag, though.
Okay, great. Well, we got Pete's sleeping opinion. Lorraine, what do you have to say?
Well, you didn't choose top 10, so that means you're an insufferable indie lover.
Yeah!
But also very smart and cultured.
Suck it!
Yeah, that really sounds cultured.
Pete, what about you? No, right before you fall asleep, if you can tell us.
Well, I think I should go last because I'm going to get ripped to shreds. So why don't you go?
Interesting that you know
all right. Let's see. What do you have to say? My favorite comic book character is Cypher.
Cypher? You guys are... I should have known that, though, you wouldn't choose top 10 because most people are like, Superman.
Right.
Cypher. Oh, wow. This is a good one. I think that means that you are a good communicator, but also
nope.
Maybe...
Nope.
But also maybe a little uptight.
Oh,
great.
Right.
Great.
Right.
Very okay. True. Okay. And let me just say, I'm sure you probably already talked about this, but your post on Twitter about Cypher not being included in the New Mutants movie broke my goddamn heart.
Oh,
and
thank
I wanted,
you,
I initially
thank
wanted
you.
To make fun of you a lot, and I was like, oh, he's actually
no,
truly
I actually,
upset about it.
When I found out that Cypher wasn't going to be in the New Mutants movie, I finally understood what it was like to be Pete 24 hours a day.
Exactly. I posted one comment on, I think, Facebook making fun of you a little bit, and you were like, no, read my Twitter, and I did, and I was like, oh, God. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'll get through this somehow.
But to be fair, it makes a lot of sense because he's just a book.
Shut up. All right, Pete,
all
what
right,
about you?
Pete.
What's your favorite comic book character?
It's hard just to pick one.
Well, we know who's
I
on
mean,
the table.
It's hard to, because it's basically the Hulk,
it's really
the
hard.
Punisher,
it's hard to
and
pick,
Wolverine.
Like, between all of the comic book characters, the one
you
could
have,
like, one could bring a t-shirt and
Punisher
slippers. Jesus Christ,
so
when
you,
did this happen?
I
think Pete lives here.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
What
just
do you mean,
the,
when did this
on.
Happen?
Just for those listening at home, I was aware that Pete had Punisher slippers, but I started picking up some other things because I was like, oh, there's Punisher slippers there. He not only has Punisher slippers, slippers, at a t-shirt, at a regular baseball cap, but a winter cap, and yeah, I'm pretty sure you are actually sleeping here.
The inside is red for blood.
Great. Are you going with Punisher?
Given the three characters that he just said, don't ever piss off Pete. He'll hate you forever.
That's true.
Well, we all know that's true.
There you go.
But very loyal as long as you never do anything wrong ever.
That's right.
I could have paid thousands of dollars
for that. But I got
free.
Here for free.
Right here.
There you go. That's amazing. Welcome. Thank you so much, Lorraine. Great question.
All right, you're going to get some free comics.
Let's get another question. Absolutely anybody. You, right all the way in the back, come on up here. All right. What is your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name is Alex. What is your favorite Marvel story arc?
Favorite
Marvel story arc?
Yeah.
Lorraine, do you have one?
Pride and Joy, Runaways, always. I love the Runaways. Yeah. My favesies.
Can you lay it out for us?
Yeah, there are a bunch of kids that don't really want to hang out together, but their parents got to hang out together because they have meetings. Well, it turns out that their parents are actually supervillains, and so they have to Runaways. And then it's pretty much about that.
All right, there you go. Justin, what about you?
That's a tough question. I guess right now, I feel like when in summer, I always go back to when I was a kid and picking up the annuals, the Marvel annuals that were linked, and they would just sort of pair up three random characters. And I used to walk from our house way in the woods to the gas station. It was like 3 miles to pick up the issues. And so the Vibranium Vendetta comes to mind as like one.
I couldn't figure out whether you were going to go towards Atlantis Attacks or Vibranium Vendetta.
For some reason, that for me, I just feel like I worked the hardest to get to that comic and then walked home in the sun, like reading it. And it took like 10 minutes. I was like, holy shit. I got to walk 2.5 more miles to even get home. But that to me is like the ultimate summer comic, where the Marvel linked annuals. The Korvac saga, yeah. Awesome.
Pete, do you have one?
It's a old Hulk book. It's The Brute That Shouted Love at the Heart of an Atom. It's the love story of Bruce Banner for when he shrank all the way down. And fell in love with the princess, but then returns to his normal size and never saw her again.
She's too tiny to date.
Yeah.
Sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's still out there. She could be. She could be anywhere. She could be in your pocket. She could be like.
Who knows?
In your ear. Yeah. You never know. What a romance. No wonder you're so angry. You tried to be heartfelt, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Gonna make fun.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
First one that came to mind was Inferno, I think, is probably my favorite Marvel story arc of all time. Yeah, I've talked about this a couple of times, but I was always so blown away how there were four separate comics that all led up to Inferno, and they coordinated so well that if each X-Men team hadn't done something horribly stupid and wrong, which is so inherent to the X-Men bringing horrible things happening to the world, it wouldn't have happened. So it was just so well coordinated. The way that it bled into every single book was amazing. I love the fact that since most Marvel books take place in New York, the Empire State Building slowly started growing larger and larger and larger. There's so many different little things that I remember from the book. And even the corner that it went through 3 months and they had the Inferno logo in the corner and the fire grew bigger every month in the corner. I love that. Every single thing about it. It was the best.
Wow.
There you go.
Great
question. I think we could take one more Petrine. Okay. One more. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Pablo. Hello, everyone.
AKA Star Wars ring.
Oh, Lord.
Hey,
what's
Pablo.
You're not going to let that go. What's a good ringtone to have now that I've burnt Star Wars? Just regular dings? Or maybe I should try vibrate.
Oh, you want that. You're married, so hey.
What?
Just ask a question.
Great question.
All right. So we're talking about absurd comic books in the early portion of the show before the the ring just popped up. Yeah. What is the most absurd Marvel comic story? It doesn't matter if it's the past or today.
Most Ooh. Absurd. Nice.
Ooh, most absurd comic story.
Well, I don't know. Does anyone remember a series called What the?
Yeah.
Which was like Marvel's humor comic for many years, sort of like Mad Magazine for the Marvel Universe. That was all just like a series of absurd shorts and all sorts of random stuff. That was very good. I remember reading that when I was a kid. But I also think like Slapstick was a series back in the day, and that he's recently come back.
Yeah, yes.
In the Deadpool arc there.
He's getting his own solo series in the
fall.
And I actually
thought that series was really good. It was actually sort of dark, the original series, while also being funny and weird. So that was that's my pick.
I was reading old Black Widow, like right before she went to the black costume in the purple costume when she was trying to bite on Spider-Man style and trying to fly through the air. She wears like a purple fishnet costume and she keeps trying to like swing on ropes because she does not have spider powers. That's pretty choice. And also it's written by Heaven Love Him's early Stan Lee, and he's like, I'm a woman and I have woman feelings. I don't know what to do. So it's pretty great.
If you could pick a writer that understands the female perspective, it's Stan Lee. If anybody.
I don't know.
Oh.
I had one. Alex, I forgot it. I forgot it. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
Absurd.
I always just thought it was weird how like they would take breaks in the comics and play baseball and stuff like that.
That wasn't a break. That was an essential part of the storyline.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. When we were in LA, we had Jeff Loeb on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the X-Men shows that they're doing, or the X-Universe shows that we're doing. And I suggested to him that the one thing we haven't seen in the movies that we've got to see in the TV show is them playing a baseball game. And he was like, yes, 100%, I'm on board, let's do this. And then Pete was like, fuck you, Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
It was a weird moment.
Because you planted that seed of an idea in his head, happen. You asshole.
That's
just
great.
Imagine. If I turn on my TV and see that, I'm
hold on, just imagine.
What sports do you want him to play?
No sports.
No Why? Sports? Why? Just mad all the time?
Just imagine you're watching FX's Legion show and he's playing baseball with himself. How cool would that be?
Oh, man, what a blast.
So cool.
Why do I want to tune into the X-Men to watch them play baseball? That doesn't make sense.
Wouldn't you want to tune into baseball to watch them play X-Men?
Yeah, exactly. It's the best baseball game you'll ever watch. Played D&D by himself, so of course he wants Legion to play some sad sport by himself.
Stop revealing things that we talked about in that private video we made earlier.
Private, interesting.
It was private. Uh-huh.
Great.
It's not anymore.
What sport would you want the X-Men to play?
A golf?
Wow, that seems really half-assed. That's a much worse sport.
Very slow.
Yeah, because that's how I feel reading the comics. Like, this is ridiculous. So make it even worse.
Great.
You know they have mutant powers, right? That's also ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say most absurd thing, Maggot. Maggot's pretty absurd.
Oh, just him as
Just as a character, the idea of a guy who, where was he from?
Australia.
He was from Australia, and he was blue and had a mohawk, and he had two metal maggots that kind of lived in his stomach and would come out and eat things and then come back and puke into his stomach.
They were his external
stomachs. And they'd puke inside of him, and it would hurt him so much, and then he'd have energy powers, I think.
Again, that harkens back to Ice Cream Loki and just making him characters on the spot.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Great question. You're going to get some free comics. Before we wrap up, though, Lorraine, what's your favorite question?
I'm going to give it to this arc gentleman who asked our favorite arcs.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
Favorite arc gentleman.
Arcs.
A copy of Lorraine's book.
Come on down.
All right. Thank you guys for your audience questions. You did it.
Yeah,
and we did it. And now we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do. We'll get through this real quick. So in the Week in Geek, let's kick it off. We were talking about this before the show. Fear the Walking Dead.
You are not talking about this.
Oh, hey.
You are not talking about this.
Hey, Dad, we can talk about whatever we want.
No, you cannot.
Yes, we can.
No, you cannot. You can't talk about this show after you, neither one of you have seen all of Preacher. There's no
way.
Wait
a second. Wait a second.
That doesn't make any logical sense.
Remind me again, what is Preacher? I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I have still yet to finish Preacher, but I have watched Fear the Walking Dead.
So who gives a shit? I've seen all of Preacher. You guys don't let me fucking talk about it. We're not talking about some bullshit show. Not happening. Not until you guys see Preacher, we talk about it, then we can talk about whatever show you want. You can't fucking make bullshit decisions like this.
Wow. Pete's going to hold our eyes
open.
Pete
has made a stand.
Yeah. How about this? What if we talk about Fear the Walking Dead, but call it Preacher?
Oh, that's good.
Nope, doesn't count.
On the latest episode of Preacher, the zombies, what did you think?
Nope, How about we, fine. You're right, Pete. You're right. How about we preach about Fear the Walking Dead?
There we go.
Nope.
I think this Fear the Walking Dead is very good.
Pete.
La, 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 la. La, la, la,
Pete
la,
is
la,
a child.
La, 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 la,
can we cut his mic? I know
Luke,
we usually do that much earlier in the show. Can
father.
We cut his mic? Cut his mic.
Pete.
I'm talking to your microphone.
Pete, what you're doing right now is very rude to our guest Lorraine, who expressly asked me to talk about
Fear the
Walking
Dead. She did not. Don't you bring her into this.
Look, she's terrified.
I don't want any part of this.
If you're listening at home, Lorraine was going, yes, talk about
I don't
about
fear
the walking
anything
dead.
Walking except Pete.
That's all a right. great answer.
Fair enough. Should we move on to something else?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this was an interesting bit of news that came out today. There was an interview with Shia LaBeouf where he was talking about the latest episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
No,
and what he said Okay, all right. But really, Shia LaBeouf, so you've seen Suicide Squad, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you know Scott Eastwood's part in Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Really? Because I don't remember Scott Eastwood's part in Suicide Squad. He was barely in it.
Right,
but Shia LaBeouf was apparently up for it originally before they were like, nope, you're too crazy, you can't be in this movie. What do you think about that, Pete?
I mean, that seems like a very...
Well, clearly you don't want to fucking talk about things that matter.
Okay, sorry, my bad. So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough to hear that you're too crazy to be on screen for 2 seconds. I mean, that's got to be upsetting.
Would you have liked to see Shia LaBeouf in that situation?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I was happier seeing Eastwood.
What I think is most interesting about this, though, is how they're developing Chris. I think that's the interesting part.
How they're developing?
Yeah, how they're developing Chris. Like, Chris's relationship with Travis. I think that's the most interesting
fuck
part.
Fuck you with your bullshit. Yeah.
Well, I think the way that's changing.
La, la, la.
How did you know? I didn't
Luke.
Even say Fear the Walking Dead or anything
Luke,
like that.
Luke, I am your
All
father.
Right, Lorraine, Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift broke up. What do you think?
She's a crazy lady.
Great. Okay.
I had a dream about Tom Hiddleston like 2 days ago. The end.
That's a sign. His spirit left Taylor and came to you.
You know what? I think that might have been what it was. I could sense something in the force.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just the cell phone, but otherwise, absolutely right.
Well, if we can't talk about Fear the Walking Dead, can we talk about something you might be afraid of with The Walking Dead?
What's that?
Abraham dying.
What?
So there's a character named Abraham on Walking the Dead.
Walking the Dead. Great show. We can talk about that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So at the end of last season on The Walking Dead, 11 characters were lined up. We don't know who's going to die. A lot of people, and I think including us, have assumed that Abraham is going to be one of the people potentially that dies. Mm-hmm. But two things have happened. One, Michael Cudlitz, who plays Abraham, gave an interview where he said, for the DVD, where he said, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing a world with Abraham and Negan because we haven't seen that in the comics. And also the scripts I've been reading are great. Which seems to give it away a little bit.
That's a clue.
And then the other thing, this is actually on comicbook.com. I'll check this out earlier. They went through and screenshot every single piece of this new trailer. And there's a guy with very red hair that has red facial hair who's fighting a zombie.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Have they blown it? Is Abraham going to survive? Negan? Or do you think he's still a goner and we're being faked out?
I think we're being faked. I do think I think he will survive. I don't think he's one to die. I feel like he is one of the characters that pops more on the show. I don't think they would eliminate him.
What about you, Pete?
We don't fucking know. We're grasping at straws.
Great. I'm glad we didn't talk about a thing that we do know stuff about and wanted to talk about instead of a thing you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to say because it's coming. You're not in charge of it?
Well, no. I just think that I... personally don't think Abraham's going to die, but I think it's just going to be like one of the no-name people we don't care about. Because
you think it's going to be someone we haven't...
No, one of the guys from who were in the town where they were that you don't really care about.
Oh, okay. So you think Negan's going to... He did the EDB and Mighty Bo right. with the 11 characters that we know. Yeah. He's like, and it's Gary. He's yep, behind this
exactly.
tree over there.
Sorry, Gary.
Die, Gary. In the background.
Let me be
who
honest.
We didn't know was here. Yeah, exactly.
I think Negan's going to hit himself with a bat.
Yeah,
he's gonna knock himself right out of the show. Man.
Do you watch Walking Dead?
Yeah, I did watch the season finale.
Okay, who do you think who's gonna die?
All of them eventually.
Oh, that's really smart.
So
that's really true.
That's the one thing that's really guaranteed.
Dark. That's the only thing I fear.
The only thing we know
with
for
that
sure.
uplifting message.
Yeah. That's
all right. Well, we'll just have to tune in and, of course, watch Fear the Walking Dead currently on AMC on Sundays.
What?
And that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah.
All right. Over to Pete for trivia.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Oh, first hand up already. Come on down. That's, I love it.
Come on down.
Yeah, today's trivia
all right,
is going to be on an amazing book. What is your name?
Stephanie.
Audience Stephanie. So today's trivia is on the Marvel book, Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know. Question number one. So I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. You know how this works. in the Marvel book, Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know, in the section on Black Panther, who takes over for T'Challa? Is it A, Shuri, his sister, B, Storm, his ex-wife, or is it C, Gem from the Holograms? So it's either A or don't pick B.
I think it's A.
A is correct.
Nicely done.
In the Iron Man section for the Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know, who is a key armed foe? Is it A, War Machine, B, Crimson Dynamo, or is it C, the Keytar? So it's either A, War Machine, which is incorrect if you pick that one, or it's B, Crimson Dynamo.
Is it B?
B is correct. Nice job.
Crushing it.
Whoo! Last question. In the Vision section of the book by Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know.
Wow, what a voice for radio.
It says that Vision is best known for what? Is it A, walking through walls, B, flying, or C, rocking out? Another Gem in the Holograms reference. So it's either A, because Vision can go through walls, or it's B, flying. What is he, or he, I should say in quotes, I mean, it's a robot. What is he most known for? Is it either A or B? Don't pick B. Don't do it. I can tell you want to.
A?
Yeah, $25 nice. Free dollars.
Great.
Congratulations.
Yeah, long give that way back around to him. The bar.
Incredible. Great job. And you guys would do a great job if you picked up some new comics tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a bunch of stuff.
Sure. Well,
just say one then.
One thing,
if I can only pick one,
why don't you pick one that you could describe in some way what's going on in the book.
Well, I don't, people really aren't into my descriptions, per se, because they are the worst. But I would say Paper Girls number 9 is what I'm most looking
great
forward
choice.
To.
Great choice.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Great.
And also Daredevil number 11.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
That's really good. You're just saying
anything else?
But if I just had to pick
names.
One.
Sure. Let's say you had to pick 3.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, I think I just did, so I'm good.
Great, right. You're good.
Great. No, Justin, what about you?
But not a single word about what's going on in any of
them. Yep.
I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange number 11.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I was going to say, too.
I'll pick another one. I share nothing. Okay.
It's also on my list. It's also on my list, if that helps.
Haven't you had enough time? Doctor Strange just finished up a great arc where Doctor Strange had to do battle. All of magic is destroyed. He battled computers, essentially. And we'll see what happens next.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Angel Catbird is coming out tomorrow from Dark Horse Comics. This is Margaret Atwood's new superhero comic, which sounds...
We've all demanded it.
Well, it sounds crazy weird, and I'm excited to see how it turns out and how it works. To have somebody of that caliber writing an original graphic novel about a superhero is really interesting, so I'm curious to see how it turns out. Lorraine, anything?
I've picked a new one. It's Marvel Tsum Tsum. Tsum Tsum number two.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Tsum Tsum.
Tsum Tsum? It's not Tsum Tsum?
It sure isn't. I know that because I said Tsum Tsum in a video and they said, you better go re-record that. And I was like, great, Tsum Tsum it is. Tsum Tsums are cute little stuffy animals or collectible toys that people are crazy obsessed with. There's a Tsum Tsum game. Once, when I did my first book signing at San Diego Comic-Con, a woman came up to me and she said, I downloaded the game from Korea so I could have Tsum Tsums, so that I know that people love Tsum Tsums, so I know you will love Marvel Tsum Tsum. They come to Earth.
Yeah.
And they're adorable.
They're like floating pillows.
Kind of.
Is that reductive of me? Marvel Absolutely Everything You Need to Know official now.
Yeah.
And plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Please watch Thwip, the big Marvel show, Tuesdays at Marvel.com and also at YouTube.com/Marvel. You can also watch the Marvel Minute every Monday, where you get a minute of Marvel news. Or you can come see me perform with Hero Complex at the Pit every Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Nice.
Very cool. Yeah.
It's a great team, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Lindsay Ellis, who's a writer for IFC, The Mary Sue, and a bunch of other places, is going to be here, so that should be great. Also, our show is free to come see and free to listen to online, but it does cost us a little bit of money. If you're physically here in the space, we do have a literal hat over there that you can throw some stuff in. If not, we also have a Patreon account, patreon.com/comicbookclub, where you can get many different rewards, including joining the Comic Book Sticker Club, where every couple of months we'll send you a new pack of entirely original stickers. So that's pretty cool. We're going to send off the first pack tomorrow, I believe, to people. So
perfect for laptops.
Sure. Or bumpers.
Ah, yeah. They're bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Very hard to read. You got to be really close and almost in an accident if you read them.
If you're reading this, Comic Book Club, Tuesday nights at 7.
Yeah, that's the best way to advertise on a car bumper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pete, anything else you want to plug?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Lorraine for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
We want to thank our fabulous interns, Emma Bell, Tom Adar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Louis DC on photo.
Yeah.
Boothman Prime.
Yeah.
Boothman Prime. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 at the Bit Loft in New York. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks,
guys.
Yes.
Thanks for coming out.
Don't go.